Today I'm going to be giving a message. I have never really given a message concerning Halloween. I've never done it before. And I'm not saying that I'm pro. But what I'm saying is Halloween, is it something for believers? Is it something that we, as the body of Messiah, should be involved in, or should we be part of in any way whatsoever? So we're going to cover that today. You know, it's kind of sad because a lot of what we call the body of the Messiah, the church, Messianic synagogues included, what I see is a sad thing is that the body, the church, has compromised its walk with God. The body has become like the world rather than separated and different from the world. But we are told that we are to be light. We are to be children of light. That we are not to be like the world, not to desire the things of the world, not to act like the world. We have to be different, don't we? So this message I'm giving today, it's not for anybody's condemnation in any way whatsoever. There may be some here who think it's just an innocent time of fun for kids, an innocent time. We get candy and we dress up. Well, maybe I'll burst some bubbles today. But let me tell you, it's not so innocent. And what it represents is not so good, not so pure for us as believers. And we have to, as I said, take a stand for the things of God, and we need to stand above and beyond the world. You know, this time of the year is unlike any other in many respects. Every shopping center and every grocery store that you go to, it's filled and filled with tons and tons of candy. You go to Walmart, they've got a long aisle, a mile long, with candies on both sides, all set up for one of their busiest days of the, or times of the year. Everyone buying tons and tons of candy. And then you see costumes everywhere. You see devil costumes and witches costumes and ogres and, of course, you have your superheroes and all these other things, but there's a lot of things in there that are just, I don't see as being pleasing to the God that we serve. And then in a few short days from now, I think, is it Wednesday? Yep. Wednesday, you're going to see kids parading up and down the street. And as I said, there'll be bright red devil costumes with horns and dressed as witches and with brooms and all these things. Chanting trick or treat. Trick or treat. Holding out plastic bags or molded plastic pumpkins, kind of like the pumpkin maybe we just saw, in hopes of getting vast amounts of candy. Of course, they end up getting sick from eating so much candy, but that's another issue there. Now, for believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, believers in Jesus, Halloween is really one of the most difficult holiday to deal with. You know, its darker side is very disturbing, and it's very alarming. A myriad of questions come up and surround us during this time. Should we, as believers, or as Christians, should we participate it? Should we accommodate it? Or should we vigorously denounce it? You know, turning to the internet, you can find hundreds and hundreds of websites and articles, sermons, editorials condemning the observance of this holiday. In fact, many believers have taken a very strong stance in opposition to Halloween on the grounds that it supports satanic worship and pagan gods. This places many of us, especially those who have kids, young kids, in a very uncomfortable position. How should we then, as believers, respond to Halloween? Is it sinful and evil, or just fun and games? Is it a problem or a potential opportunity? To answer these questions, I'm going to have us look a little bit at the past, where this all came from. Actually, I didn't even realize until I started looking more into it that when we had in Ireland, and Catherine, you've got some Irish background, when they had the Great Potato Famine in Ireland. Everyone remember the Great Potato Famine? Yeah, actually in the 1800s. Big famine, potato famine in Ireland. And what it did, it brought over tens of thousands of Irish into this country. And with it, they brought in Halloween, which came from a Celtic and Druze background. You know, we ought to recognize that the American celebration of this, as I said, really draws from Irish and Scottish folk customs that can be directly traced to pre-Christian times and rooted in ancient beliefs. The Celtic Feast of Samhain. Do you ever hear that? Samhain. That's where it comes from. That's where we get our Halloween today. Halloween can be viewed as nights of rollicking fun and airy games and pagan beginnings, but it's not so innocent. Originally, Halloween was a celebration of the Druids in honor of Samhain, whom they believed to be the Lord of the Dead. That's the origin of it, a celebration in honor of the Lord of the Dead, and whose festival happened to fall on November 1st, which is Halloween, the day, you know, the next to each other, November 1st. The Druids believed that on the eve of this festival of Samhain, the Lord of the Dead called together the wicked souls within the past 12 months that had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. And the veil, they believed, between the present world and the spirit world, or the world beyond, was pierced. Opened up, a portal was opened up that allowed all sorts of demons to be released and witches to come forth and hobgoblins all to come through this portal into this world to harass and destroy people's lives. There was a prevailing belief among many nations that at death the souls of good people were taken by good spirits, and they were called to paradise. But the souls of the wicked were left to wander in the space between earth and the moon, or consigned to inhabit animals. Typically, the Druids believed that on this one night of the year, this eve of Samhain festival, the spirits of the dead returned to their original homes, along with other ghosts and goblins. In order to protect themselves or to make themselves immune to the attacking demons, people disguised themselves. Now listen to this. They dressed up. They disguised themselves as witches and devils and ghouls, from where we derive the wearing of costumes. They wore these costumes of witches and devils and ghouls and all that to hide from these attacking spirits who they believed would not be able to see them, because they were disguised in these costumes. They also attempted to ward off evil spirits by carving scary and grotesque faces on various types of gourds. And as it came to the United States, these gourds turned in, which they didn't have as many here, they substituted it for pumpkins. And it was the pumpkins that they carved out with scary faces and all that again, to try to ward off evil spirits. And they would put candles in it as well in order to scare the spirits away who loved darkness. In order to placate the evil spirits, they offered all sorts of treats to these spirits. Fruits and vegetables and other types of food they would offer up to these spirits to pacify them. And if these demonic hordes were satisfied, if you didn't offer any treats or your offering wasn't good enough, these ghouls, these goats would trick you by casting a spell on you and wreaking havoc in your home. So this is the tradition where we get trick or treat between the devil and the ghouls and these spirits and human beings, tricking them. You would have to give them treats or they would trick you and possess you and all these things. Let's see what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. You have your scriptures with you. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting at verse 10. Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 10. It says, "There must not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or a fortune teller, a soothsayer, an omen reader, or sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up from the dead, or calls up the dead." It says, "For whoever does these things," it says, "it is an abomination to Adonai," abomination to the Lord. People who do these things, follow these practices, abomination. That means it's horrifying, it's disgusting to the Lord. It's as if he spits you out. It's a wrench, it's a smell to the Lord. Evil. Abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. Listen also what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. This is a familiar story where King Saul goes to what's known as the witch of Endor, and she brings up the spirit of Samuel. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, starting at verse 7, "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go to her and inquire through her.'" Now the Torah, which we just read in Deuteronomy 18, what did it tell us? Don't have anything to do with someone like this. It's an abomination to the Lord. Stay away. Keep away. But here Saul is going and he's seeking out this abomination. "So I may go to her, inquire through her. So his servant said to him, 'Behold, there is a woman that is a medium,'" or you can say she is a witch, some translations, "at Endor." So Saul disguised himself. Maybe it was Halloween, right? He disguised himself, wore a costume here. And he had put on other clothes, and he went with two other men, and they reached the woman by night. Then he said, "Please conjure up for me a ghost." That's what it says. "Bring up for me the one that I name to you." Again, this is an abomination to the Lord. But I want to also look in Acts, verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 16. Acts 16, 16, if you have your scriptures there with you. Acts 16, 16, through verse 18, and it says, "And so it happened that as they were going to prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, who was bringing her masters much profit from her fortune telling." So this woman here, she was able to discern spirits. She could do all sorts of, I guess, weird and evil things. What? Tell the future, yes. And she was bringing a lot of profit for her masters, just like when you drive down the road. I see all the time, you see stores that says fortune teller or spiritist, whatever. Every time I go by that, I bring a cursing. I curse it. In the name of Yeshua, I curse this place, that it will be closed or burned to the ground. Lord, I don't want the persons in it to be burned with it. I want them to be turned to you, Lord, their eyes opened to what is truth and reality, but destroy that place, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. I've done that almost every time I go by. I do that. And it says here that, so she had this spirit of divination. She would do fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept shouting, "These men are servants of El Elyon, or they're servants of the God Most High, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Now, wouldn't that seem at first that was a good thing? Hey, these guys, you know, they're really good. You know, they're telling you God's words and this and that, but it kept going on and on. It became almost like a heavy spirit there that she was bringing and causing all sorts of trouble. She kept doing this for many days, but Paul was irritated and turned and said to that spirit, and let me tell you this, you have the power, I have the power, we have the authority to call any spirit, command every spirit to be gone in the name of Yeshua. You have no business here, you have no place, or I command you in the name of Yeshua, be gone. You have that power, and you have that authority to do that. That's the power that's been put in you as you received Yeshua as your Messiah, Jesus, as your Lord. That power is in you. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, is within you. And you can command every spirit to be obedient and to be gone in the name of Yeshua. And it says, I command you in the name of Messiah Yeshua to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Of course, the owners were kind of upset because that was how they made a lot of money with fortune telling. And you know, it's a big business, fortune telling. They still have the numbers you call on the phone, and you call and there's some person doesn't know you from Adam or Eve, doesn't care about you at all, just wants your money. And they're telling you, oh, all these wonderful things, you're going to find love and glamour. All this money is going to come behind, you know, to you and all this. But really that demon is whispering, I got you. I got you. And I'm going to destroy your life. That little subtle voice there. You know that part of Halloween, for some reason, black cats also are part of that because they have religious origins in them as well. Black cats were considered to be reincarnated beings with the ability to divine the future. During the Middle Ages, it was believed that witches could turn themselves into black cats. Thus, when a black cat was seen, it was considered to be a witch in disguise. Witches and witchcraft are dominant themes of Halloween, of the Samhain. Very dominant themes. Witches, devils, witchcraft everywhere. Witches generally believe themselves to be followers of the ancient religion, which goes back far beyond Christianity, and which is properly called Wicca. And it's so sad that, you know, Wiccans, they want their religious freedom as well. They want to be protected as a religion. So they can have buildings like we have synagogues and churches and get tax-exempt status. In the military, you have chaplains. You know, you can have Protestant chaplains and Catholic chaplains, and there can also be Jewish chaplains. And they now have Wicca chaplains as well in the military. Equal. But you know, witches are really just one side of a modern revival taking place of paganism throughout this world. Worshipping ancient Norse, Greek, and Celtic gods and goddesses. And you know, to witches, Halloween, and they understand it, is a festival of the dead. And it represents the end of the beginning of the witch's year. It marks the beginning of death and destruction associated with winter. At this time, the power of the underworld is unleashed and let loose all over the world. And spirits are supposedly free to roam all over the earth and It's considered the best time of the year to contact spirits. So I think it's also a time when we as believers need to be praying hard, because this is a wicked thing. It's not, again, it's not a fun little thing. Now, I grew up Jewish, both my parents Jewish, and they had us dress up as well. I dressed up one year as Mr. Magoo. I have a picture of it and all different things, and I didn't understand what I was doing. I just went from house to house because I wanted candy. I didn't know that I was taking food sacrificed to idols, food that belonged to the evil one. I wasn't taught anything. But let me tell you, we taught our own kids about the evils of this. And I'm going to have a little guest speaker come up here for a minute. Irene, if you would come up here to the very front, please. Come on, Irene. Come on down. Okay. What I wanted to share is that an incident that took place with Josh when he was little and when he was in kindergarten. Tell the short story. Okay?
There is no such thing.
Okay. And keep it to the story.
Always in the womb, I would read scriptures.
Put the mic up.
And train them to memorize scripture since they were little. And so Joshua started the first grade.
Kinder.
See, I have him here to correct me. And it was Halloween. And his teacher, who happened to be Jewish, Ms. Berliner was her name, she called me during the day and asked to talk to me. She said, I need to get together with you. Can you come pick up Joshua? Come early. So I need to talk to you. And I said, is everything okay? And she said, oh, yeah, I just have questions for you. And I said, okay. So I went early, and I met with her, and she started asking me, says, how are you raising Joshua? And I said, excuse me? He says, how are you? I wanted to ask you how you're raising Joshua. And so I was kind of curious. I said, why? And he says, well, I hope you don't take this wrong. She said, but, you know, it is Halloween. And so she made copies of pumpkins and skeletons and stuff. And all the kids, they pass them and put them on their desk. And the little kids, they color them. And I passed them out. And when I put them on Joshua's desk, he pushed them away. And he says, I don't do those things. And she said, Joshua, the whole class is going to color, honey. It's just a day that we're going to have fun and color. He said, I don't color witches and stuff. So he pushed him away. And he said, okay, well, can I give you just a sheet of paper? He says, yeah, I'll draw something. You know, so she didn't make him, force him to color. He would not have done it, I'll tell you that. He's my son.
Go ahead.
And so she started, she did the papers, all the kids were playing, Joshua was doing his own thing, and then she said she started with the bags of candy that she had made for the kids. And so she went and put the candy on his desk, and he said, I don't do this, I don't celebrate. And she told him, it's just candy, Joshua. So, and he said, my mama can buy me candy. I will do not eat the devil's candy.
Yeah.
6 years old, the kid. And so she asked him, well, Joshua, what is your religion? And he said, I'm Jewish. And she told him, he said, well, I'm Jewish too, Joshua. And he says, no, you're not. If you're celebrating the devil, you're not Jewish. And so we're talking, and she says, but the wonder, he says, I had to ask you what it is, you know. So I had an opportunity to tell her about Messianic Judaism, who we are as Messianic Jews, and Yeshua is the King of the world and the Savior, the whole plan of salvation. And she says, the one thing that really impressed me, she said, is because I have Jehovah Witnesses children here. You know, that's what they celebrate. They're not allowed to do this and that, but the children are upset. They get upset because the mother tells me they don't do this. And so, but they're upset. They're not wanting. They want the candy, you know. He says, but here is this young man, she says. And he almost threw the candy at my face, and he threw the papers off his desk, and he said, I'm not Jewish because I celebrate the devil. And so it was a huge opportunity, but I'm saying with the kids, I know they're out in the world, but it's our responsibility forever, 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 raise up a child in the way that they should go. And God will raise those words up in them and touch whomever. So, yeah.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I wanted her to come up and share that because that's part of the point of what I'm talking about. You know, is this for believers? Is this for something? And, you know, obviously, I would say this is not something for us as believers, but we have to teach and train our children what is right and what is wrong. And they weren't upset. Joshua wasn't upset because he couldn't draw it, or he wasn't upset because he couldn't eat the candy, because he knew, even at that age, inside, that that was wrong. And if he wanted candy, Mama, okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, Now the Ruach, or the Spirit, clearly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, following deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And we see that happening. And we, as believers, can't allow our lives to be infiltrated by the things of the world. Rosh Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said witchcraft is one of the acts of the sinful nature, and those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21 says, Now the deeds of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And I'm warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not so innocent. You do these things, witchcraft, anything involved with it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not Rabbi Yossi telling you this. This is the scriptures saying these things, okay? Scriptures are saying these things. Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, the last and final book within our scriptures. Revelation 22, verse 15 tells us here, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, those are who practice magic arts, and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone else who loves and practices these falsehood. They're outside. They're not part of the kingdom of God. So the question, can we borrow pagan customs and practices and superstitions of these ancient peoples, and can we Christianize them? So if we dress up as Halloween characters and the devil, but we put on our pumpkin for the candy, we put a cross on it, does that make it okay? Are we Christianizing it now? Does that make it fine? As believers, we'll call to 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, that says, Test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Who can deny that virtually all the symbols of Halloween are evil? All the symbols of Halloween. witches, monsters, ogres, vampires, ghosts, ghouls, goblins, devils, demons, they all portray evil. According to Ephesians 5:11, believers are to take no part in the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So is Halloween just an innocent holiday that doesn't harm anybody? Is it really just childish fun? Do you know that vandalism and wanton disregard for property of others is common on Halloween? I used to do it. We used to get cartons of eggs and shaving cream. And I won't tell you how many cars that I dumped eggs on and put shaving cream and all those kind of things. I did those things. It was wrong. But Halloween in itself, it drives vandalism. It drives disrespect and the damage of property and all these things. Even normally well-behaved children are driven by unseen forces to destructive behavior. Police officials everywhere report a great increase in bad activities or violent activities and vandalism and all these things on Halloween. Worse yet are all the horrifying accounts of poisoned candies. More and more candies that are poisoned, fruits booby-trapped with razor blades and needles. And the threats are so real that during Halloween, there are hospitals throughout a lot of towns who are willing to x-ray the candies and the fruits and all of that to protect the kids so that they are not taking anything that has razor blades and needles in it and all of that. But who would inspire all these things? Obviously, it's the evil one. It's Satan who inspires all these activities. And should the body of the Messiah be compromised to accomplishing itself or accommodating itself to this culture? Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. There needs to be a transformation. Don't conform to the things of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what is fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony does the Messiah have with Belial or the devil? Or what part does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? When America and the world celebrate this festival of Samhain, which we now call Halloween, and the powers of darkness are masquerading as evil creatures and decorating our homes and schools and businesses and churches with occult symbols, satanic power is glorified. This glorifies the evil one. The sort of practices celebrated on Halloween are what defiled the ancient nations, which I talked about, Israel in Deuteronomy 18 and Leviticus 18:9. We see that the Israelites were warned against such practices when they entered the promised land. It says, when you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you are not to learn or be like those people and follow after their abominations. It goes on to say, there must not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or a fortune teller, or a soothsayer, or someone who reads omens, or sorcerers, or casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. We are not to do these things. We are not to be like this. That's an abomination to the Lord. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You are to be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to soothsayers and fortune tellers. But as for you, the Lord your God will not allow you to do these things. And let me tell you, the Lord your God will not allow you to do such things. It's not innocent. Listen, the devil is real. I have no doubt the devil is real. The Bible tells us that he walks, he talks, he tempts, he lies, he flatters, he afflicts, he possesses, he influences, he destroys, he sows discord in the body of Messiah, he quotes and misquotes scripture, he inflicts bodily injury, he inflicts false doctrine in the world, and he is the center of false prophets. He's real. He's called Satan, he's called the devil, he's called a fallen angel, he's called a roaring lion, the prince of demons, a wolf, a fowl, a prowler, Beelzebub, the dragon, the serpent, Lucifer, an angel of light, a great star, the betrayer, adversary, a wonder-working, a liar, and the father of all lies. This is who we are confronting, who we are dealing with. His kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, of evil, of unrighteousness, hatred, sin, death, hell, and the grave. He produces spiritual experiences, and this deceiver has his own false church, a false gospel, a false plan of salvation, a false trinity, false preachers, and false followers. To put it bluntly, it is his desire to cause you pain and agony and defeat and destruction and disruption and to damn your soul to hell. He wants no happiness for you or your family. Is this somebody and something you want to involve your life, your family, your kids in? He will tempt you with many great, enjoyable things to make you fall. His job is to capture you when you're weak. He wants your soul in hell to live with him. The struggle will not be an easy one. In fact, it's a war. The war between good and evil, between light and darkness, life and death, eternal life or damnation. You are right in the smack in the middle of it. We are in the middle of this war. And it's the blood of Yeshua that gives us forgiveness for our failures. And it's his arms that surround us. And he picks us up when we stumble and fall. And he restores us in perfect condition. Nowadays, I see all over churches who have accommodated this. They may call it by other names, harvest festivals, fall festivals, autumn festivals, all these different things. They want to give an alternative to children. Do we have to accommodate our children? Do we have to give them an alternative so they won't cry or be upset because all the other kids are dressing up and all the other kids are having candy? If we teach them right, they won't desire those things. Just as my wife shared about Joshua, they won't have a desire. They won't want anything like that. You won't have to accommodate them. You teach them right. The body of Messiah has compromised in not just in this area, but in so many areas. Where we have now openly gay preachers, pastors leading congregation, transgender people leading congregations. We have congregations, churches around that are pro-abortion. We have churches that are anti-Israel. We have churches that allow everything of the world to come in. And a believer walking into a place like that would not even recognize this as a house of worship. We as the body need to take a stand for the kingdom of God. Yeah, I like pumpkin seeds. I love pumpkin pie. And when I eat pumpkin pie, and I'm going to have some for Thanksgiving, I pile the whipped cream this high sometimes on there when I'm eating my pumpkin pie. And I eat the whipped cream, then I put more whipped cream on it. Yeah, I love pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin seeds. But that's my extent, okay? Nothing beyond that. I love pecan pie also. I have to confess that. But we people, please. God is telling, God just warned you today, all of us, you were warned. If you had any doubts, you had any thoughts about this, you weren't sure about it, you thought maybe this was just innocent fun, that it wouldn't hurt anybody, that this is just for the kids, little fun, it's innocent. Let me tell you, it's not. I just told you who the devil was, or who he is, and what he does, and his purpose, and all the names he's called by. And there's plenty of his followers everywhere around us. All you got to do is turn on some of the religious channels on TV. I tell you what, you got a lot of false prophets. Terrible false prophets. We got millions of false prophets in this world. And they have lots of followers. And if you don't know the Word of God right here, you're going to get yourself trapped into following false doctrine. Know what the Word of God says. This is your life. This is your hope. This is what's going to get you to God. I just want to end right now. As I mentioned a minute ago, it's the blood of Yeshua that gives us forgiveness for all of our failures. And it's His arms that surround us, picks us up when we stumble and fall. Listen what Yeshua prayed in John 17, verses 14 through 17. This he prayed for all believers. John 17, starting in verse 14, he said, "I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of this world. Make them holy in the truth, for your word is truth." This is the truth, people, right here. We can't be taken out of this world. We're in this world. We're part of this world, but we don't have to be as the world is. We can be a bright and shining light. We can stand out as a vessel of truth. God has called you to be a light to the nations, your families, people you work with, friends. God wants you to be a light. And today I shared with you the truth, and I pray that you received it in the manner that I wanted you to understand it. And I'm not condemning anybody. There's no condemnation for those in Messiah Yeshua who seek after the truth, the Spirit of God. But if you're someone who is struggling with this and you have children and you have family involved and this and that, as God opens up your understanding and gives you wisdom, and fills you more and more with His Spirit, then God will use you for His glory. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua,